Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Peter King of NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Peter is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details as we are getting Peter on the line here to talk to him. Get more of a national perspective as to what's happening or what the perception is about the Patriots from a national perspective, because apparently we have turned on them around here. Well, Rich hasn't.
Not me.
Rich
hasn't. Not me.
He's close.
I'll go down with the ship.
No, you
said like the band playing on the Titanic.
Didn't you say check in this week?
Big game.
Or no, is it after the Bills game? I don't know when the check in is.
Bills game, right, big game.
Let's bring Peter in. Hey, Peter, how are you?
What's up, Dale? How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. After a disheartening loss to the Denver Broncos last weekend, has the national perspective about the Patriots changed somewhat?
I think so. I mean, look, as much as you wanted to, believe in what New England was going to be after the Kansas City game because they played so well without Cam Newton, you just plug Cam Newton back in there and everything will be fine. I mean, the fact is there's still the issue of playmakers on offense, you know, which there really aren't many or any really. And then, you know, the fact that essentially Cam Newton didn't practice for a long time, however many days it was quite a while. So, you know, you still have to realize that, you know, Cam Newton is basically in about his second and a half month of being the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He just, as Belichick said the other day, we just have to practice. That's the biggest thing that I think is the biggest problem that they have right now. They just need to be together more. And especially that's true, Dale, when you see them doing throwback passes with Julian Edelman and doing all those, the quirky things, you know that there's just nothing they can really trust on offense. So, I think as much as any team in the league, this team needs three or four, you know, long, significant practices to try to figure out what it is they can do to be a competitive team in the NFL right now.
Well, similar to that, Peter, Teddy Bruschi said this isn't a good team anymore. And, you know, he kind of couched it and said that's maybe more what other players like, you know, free agents might think trying to join the Patriots. Even with all, you know, getting back to a normal week of practice, you know, simply put, like, is this a good team still?
I mean, they got the same problems that they had since late last season, since all last season. You know, Tom Brady often was basically the deodorant that, and Josh McDaniels, they were the deodorant that essentially hid a lot of their offensive issues, and they have major offensive issues. Who on that offense right now, if you're a defensive coordinator going into the game, I mean, are there many teams in the NFL that have a worse set of skill players than the New England Patriots?
Nope. No.
Just look at it objectively. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is the New York Giants, but it's close.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nobody on that offense who you say, okay, DK Metcalf, go make a play. Or Derrick Henry, go make a play. There isn't one. And a lot of times if you have a good, smart, accurate, experienced quarterback, and look, I think Cam Newton is all of those things, but he's just been on this team for 10 weeks. And, you know, and probably a week and a half of that was spent fighting COVID, you know? So I think everything, there's this confluence of events that essentially has really hurt this team right now. And the unfortunate part of it for them is that, you know, they got San Francisco, which appears to be riding the ship, and then they're at Buffalo, and you have those two games in an 8-day span. So, you know, I think it's really essential that, as Belichick said the other day, that they get some really good practice time in. So even if they lose these two games, that they start to get to know what they can rely on. And look, they still have the tonic of two games against the Jets. So, I mean, some is lost, all is not lost.
Given what you just said and the trading deadline is coming, I know it's more a baseball thing than NFL to say buyer or seller. Can you envision the Patriots unloading some veteran talent at the trade deadline?
The only way I could envision that is if they lose the next two games. If they lose the next two games in an ugly fashion. That's the only way I could really envision it. Trading deadline, I think, is November 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have it in front of me.
Yep, it is.
Yeah. If they play poorly in both these games, you know, lose by double digits or whatever in both these games, I think it's something you'd have to think about. But I guess that, you know, when you look at this, you ask yourself, you know, who actually would you like to trade? And who would you trade? I don't think you want to trade any of your young defensive talent, really, because that's going to be the key to next year, presumably, when you get back Dante Hightower and you have a really good, solid defense coming back with some good young players. I mean, do you trade Jason McCourty for a five? I don't know. I mean, do you really want to do that? But again, I don't know what they'll do. I think every team in the league now is – every contending team is going to look at distressed franchises. Like the Baltimore Ravens today looked at the Minnesota Vikings and say, let's go get Yannick Ngakoue for a relative pittance. If you think about this, listen to what has happened to Yannick Ngakoue. You know, the Ravens or the Jaguars wanted a 1+ for Yannick Ngakoue. Okay. And so now he basically has been valued or devalued at a 2+, and now weeks later at a 3+. And the Ravens 3 is probably going to be in the 90s, or it could well be in the 90s. So it's amazing. First of all, I think that's a great trade for Baltimore. But the reason that they were able to make a trade to get a guy who at his peak is a top 15 NFL defensive lineman, all right, they're able to do that because the Vikings are in seller's mode. They understand that it's not happening this year. And so, and everybody knows that. So they're going to try to do the best they can for a guy who they didn't think was going to be there long term. I think it's a little bit different for the Patriots now, because I don't know that there's anybody who they can put out there right now, you know, a young player with some significant value who they're going to want to trade.
We're talking to Peter King, NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Pete Carroll acknowledged yesterday that they are, in fact, interested in at least kicking the tires for Antonio Brown when his suspension is up. The talent is so obvious for everybody. It was obvious when he was here. But what are the chances Antonio Brown could get signed by Seattle and, more importantly, finish out a season there?
Dale, I think Antonio Brown is going to get signed somewhere. And, I mean, I wrote this in September, that I think Seattle's the leader in the clubhouse for him. There's a fascination in Seattle with Antonio Brown. And a lot of people would say, look, DK Metcalf is an absolute meteoric rising star. And their receiving core in general, Tyler Lockett is a good to very good NFL receiver. Why do they want Antonio Brown? Because I think what John Schneider looks at in this particular case is, you talk about distressed value. This guy, John Schneider can go and get him and basically tell him that, look, you got two strikes on you and Mariano Rivera is pitching to you. You can't afford strike three. And if there's anything even close to a strike three, you're not going to stay. So Antonio Brown right now has to know that it's not about, I mean, really, the last time he was on the field for a complete game, when he was a Steeler, 14 catches, 192 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Saints. And everybody knows that he can do that. But he'll also be told the only way he'll get signed by the Seahawks or a team like Baltimore or anybody is if he understands that one strike and you're out. I think Seattle is, as Adam Schefter reported this week, Seattle's very interested and could well sign him.